Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen,
are you ready?
And on Wednesday, I listen to GQ Savage Radio with the Diva Squad.
Hey, what's up, y'all? This is Jay. And I want to say I love chilling with the Diva Squad on Wednesday. Talking about I love them. Shout out to the GQ Palace. It's Butterday.
This is Thaisa, and on Wednesdays, I listen to the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio.
Hey, hey, it's Lavina. If you haven't heard, the best place to be is chilling with the Diva Squad on GQ Palace Radio. Love fantasy is what it is.
Welcome to GQ Palace Radio. You are now on Love Fantasy with your Diva Squad. It's Butter Baby, baby.
IGGYAVA. Yeah, then the middle like morning to the EA. All of my exes mad cause they was playing, so I hit my homegirls and told them I can't stay in. Try life stuck on me, that's how I see them. Stepping out, down a rock, no supreme. See, it took about an hour just to fit it in these jeans, and I don't see no way in the future or the scene. So I bet you wishing that you had me back and knew my frame now on the catch a track. Cause would you please holler at me when the catch is set? And I heard the new girl that you have is whack. Got that wet, wet, what it's about, what you holler about. Money talk, keep quiet, baby, let your dollar shout. And I got what you want, bet I'm never running now. Checking in, that's placing the band. I'm coming out like
with the deep, with the water, with the water. Angie, a.k.a. Miss Mo Better, Better. A.k.a. Ray Queen. Storm.
They call me cool from the day I was born.
Good evening, and welcome back to another episode of GQ Palace. Love Fantasy, with your Diva Squad. I am one of your hosts, Storm. I'm not sure if the fellow Divas are on the air. Divas, if you're on the air, hello.
Greetings. Microphone check.
How are you? One, two.
Ray Queen is in the building.
Bye. All right, that's Ray Queen. Welcome back to GQ Palace, Love Fantasy. We do air every Wednesday live starting at 8 p.m. So each Wednesday we are here. You could definitely check us out. The number's the same, 319-527-6761. This is an adult show. We do have adult, grown, sexy topics. We do a little bit about politics. We interview artists, authors, producers, poets, anyone that's looking to interview, that's looking for an interview to promote what they're doing. We do it on our Friday show mainly, but sometimes we do it on Wednesdays as well. And we just like to bring you the funny and the serious topics. So check us out each and every Wednesday if you want to come on and be a special guest. Or if you have a Diva Mail, you want to send us in a question. Where we will read it on the air, and we'll allow the callers to call them at any time and give us the feedback. You know, we are not licensed to do this. We just do this because we love it and we're good at it. You know, we were given a gift and we intend to use it accordingly. So with that being said, we do have a special guest coming on this evening about 8:30. She is a poet. She does spoken word, so she'll be coming on and she'll just be, you know, sharing her gift, you know, with us here at the Palace. We do welcome her. I believe it's pronounced AK but I'm not exactly sure. It's AKAY. So once she comes on, she will be able to pronounce it correctly for us here at the Diva Squad. And she's one of Long Island's own. So we will welcome her at that time. Ray Queen, how you doing?
I am doing awesome. Truly blessed. I'm grateful. Definitely blessed by the best. How about yourself?
Amen. Amen, amen. Great, that's great. Miss Mobetta, I believe, will be joining us shortly. Just want to definitely say we had a fun-filled week. Today is hump day. You know how we feel. You know, it's hump day, middle of the week, rise and grind. Let's go. The week is almost over. Thank God. We did have a very productive week last weekend. We had, Xavier's graduation. He graduated from high school on Saturday. So college has come. So yes, so we were definitely blessed to have two of our children graduating, one from college and one from high school. So it's definitely a blessing. And we're super excited for that. And then we got to go to Miss Nobetta's surprise party. Yeah. Her birthday was on Sunday. We got to represent the vibe. GQ Palace was in the building. And then we went to Soraya's birthday, a little birthday gathering on Sunday as well. So we had a very, very busy, productive
busy.
Yeah. God. So it was busy. Wow. So definitely, it was good. It was good. Just ready for that some new business ventures and trying to get, trying to get some more exposure and just grinding, always grinding. We want to just talk about the situation that happened in Chicago with the mother and the gentleman in the food store when the mother was trying to get her food and they exchanged words and he punched her a couple times in the mouth. And we're going to talk about that tonight. You know, that's a hot topic that's out there. A sad situation, if you ask me, across the board for everybody. Just so sad. You know, it's very sad. So we're going to chat. We're going to talk about that. And then go from there. But what's your thoughts? Have you seen the video?
I have seen the video. For those who have not seen the video, and I know it's surprising coming from me, Ray Queen, because y'all know how I am. I will not watch TV. I won't watch TV for months at a time. And, you know, so I'll be, like, out of the loop of everything. But I happen to be sitting here, and something came across my screen with this, you know, these two African-American people, male, female, in a fast food restaurant, hot dog joint or something, and they were exchanging words, and I saw him punch her, and I'm like, what am I watching? So then I put on the, you know, I put the volume up so that I could hear it, and he was yelling profanity at her, and he said, on my mother, or on God, if you don't just go ahead about your business or whatever, on God, I'm a punch you or something like that, knock you out. And
hello.
Hey, how are you?
Hello.
The birthday girl.
Thank you. Shout out to my engineers over there and the Diva Squad.
Yeah. We were talking real quick about, we just had a recap and we started talking about the topic tonight, the young man that punched the lady in the mouth a couple times and her son, you know, shot him. We're talking about that. But before Rachel finishes, how are you? Were you surprised?
I was really overjoyed because I was surprised. I said, with everybody that was dead. Nobody gave it up. Nobody gave it up. Nobody. Yes, indeed. Wow. But again, from the bottom of my heart, I thank everybody that was there. You know, they showed their love, appreciation, gave shout outs, gifts, all that. You know, I'm eternally grateful for that, you know. And it feels good because I'm still celebrating, believe it or not.
That's right. That's right. Yes, you see, we have to give you some music tonight, your little intro, you know. We know how you are, party animal.
Yes.
Yes. He was on the, and he was on the mic.
You see,
he was on the mic this weekend.
I'm the redefinition of 50, baby.
Yes, yes. I hear that fly stuff.
Yes.
As Rich Money would say.
You already know.
Oh,
yes,
I like
but
that.
It was great. It was an awesome party.
Good. Excellent. Excellent. So we will be doing an interview later on this weekend, about 8:30, I believe. If you guys check the inbox, you guys do have the bio as well. So check that out. And we will
I didn't even check it.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, check it whenever. You know how we do. So what's your thoughts for Ray? I'm sorry, Ray Queen. If you could finish telling us what your thoughts were since you finally watched a video that was on social media, since you're like hibernating and you don't watch TV and stuff like that. So why don't you finish telling us what your thoughts were about that real quick?
Okay, yes. Like I said, for those who don't know, Cook County prosecutors have dropped murder charges against a woman and her 14-year-old son in the shooting death of a man during a fight in a West Pullman restaurant. After the video came to light showing the man punching the woman before her son shot him, Clarissia Hood, 35, and her son had been charged with first-degree murder in the slaying of 32-year-old Jeremy Brown on June 18th at the Maxwell Suite Express location in a 11600 block of South Halls. Anyway, now the son and the mother had license, a valid card to conceal carry. Mm-hmm. Conceal and carry, at the time of the incident. Or at least the mother did. The mother did. But the son was a minor because he was 14. But the mother did have a valid concealed carry license. Now, what happened was the mother got punched in the face by some guy in the restaurant. At the time, she was messaging her son who was in the car. And her son came to our rescue amongst other people who were just standing around looking, watching. One person, you know, a few people even ran out of the restaurant, but the son ended up shooting the guy and killing him. There are different opinions on this. I think that it was valid. It was valid what the son did for his mother.
Very justifiable.
No, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Very much justified. Yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I've never seen a man punch a woman like that.
So, all right.
Yeah.
So, Miss Mobetta, what's your thoughts on it? How do you feel?
Well, you already know I'm getting into. I'm on social media and different platforms a lot, and to listen to some people saying that, oh, well, the woman could have just walked away. Now, the part of the video that we saw was actually the second part. It said the guy started arguing with the lady outside. However, for a man that claims to be some type of man to stand and punch a woman. I don't care what comes out of her mouth. To stand there and punch a woman in her face like he did. Not just one time, multiple times. Punch this woman in her face. It shows his lack of training, his lack of self-respect. He just was totally lacking, period. He had no respect for women. That's not his first time getting into domestic incidences. He's had, you know, he has a history of, you know, harassment and stuff when it comes to women. So that man just has issues. So he might have had some underlying things going on as to where, again, he needed some type of help a long time ago. I don't know if it's mommy issues, daddy issues, or he just has some type of issues. Because to even stand there and to have it in your thoughts to just knock this lady out and do it shows that he really had issues. He had a problem. What he did was sign his own death warrant. He didn't know who he was messing with that day. You know what I'm saying? People are not taking that. People ain't taking that no more. You know? So, now, not to switch lanes, but we can't be out here hollering about people being disrespected by a white officer or officer, period, or whatever, when we're doing it to our own. Like, you want us to be stand up when it comes to protecting our men, but then you see videos like this of our men disrespecting our women. You understand what I'm saying? Like I said, do we have big mouths? We do. We have big mouths, but we have big issues that go along with it. So it was a lot wrong. It was a lot wrong with him.
Yeah, I think I'll just jump in real quick. I think that to me, I think everybody was wrong, okay? And the reason I say that is, first thing I'm going to say is, of course, the young man shooting the guy, he was defending his mother, you know what I'm saying? Which is what we want our children to do, you know? We want our children to do that. But I just want to point out the bigger picture real quick now, because people say, okay, oh, black on black crime, or, oh, you know, she should have walked away, or he could have walked away, whatever the case may be. I'm going to tell you something, and I know some people might be like, you know what, you're crazy. I'm going to say this. Both people could have walked away. Both people.
Absolutely.
Both people could have walked away, but you had two people with very strong personalities, and neither one wanted to back down, as if they were both proving a point. You know what I'm saying? And to me, I feel that the gentleman who got killed, his family, his children will suffer, you know? And I feel like the young man who took a life will suffer. He will. Yes, they dropped the charges. That's a great. Yes, they have a lawsuit going on. That's great. But at the end of the day, all the money in the world is not going to help you with your mental. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to help you with what you feel on the inside of taking a life. Even though it was justifiable, I still feel like at the end of the day, he's going to suffer. You know what I'm saying? And I'd like to see what happens to him in like 5 years. You know what I'm saying? I want to see.
Well, see, listen, I want to piggyback off that before we get off that. But right there, what you said of his trauma, his mother trained him well. So the trauma is not going to be as bad as we think it is because of the area that they live in. Because of the area they live in. They probably see that stuff happens all the time.
You know what?
Let me tell you.
Go ahead. Go ahead, Ray.
I also saw a video by an activist that this young male, now they are concealing his, you know, identity because he is a minor. But I also heard an activist speaking upon the situation. This young male is, Ms. Mo said, very well trained. Not only is he well trained, but he has been in, he's an actor, he's an up and coming, he's been in movies, he's been in different settings, on television, so they are concealing his name.
I don't think,
Number one, because he's a minor, but
really
number two.
I don't think that makes a difference. I think that the bottom line is that he's a kid. He's
absolutely
a 14-year-old. And you can train me however you want to, but at the end of the day, my heart and my mind is still different. And sure, you could train someone to be a natural-born killer all you want to, but that don't, and they can take your training, because we've raised our children, so they could take the training of which you're giving them, yes, but that doesn't help their mental, you know what I'm saying? You can be you can be on TV, you can be raised a certain way, you can have all the money in the world, you know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, this right here is different. When you take a life, that's completely different than any type of training that anybody can give you. And I feel like, like I said, forgive me when I say it, I feel like the mother also could have walked away, you know what I'm saying? She could have also walked
away.
Now,
I don't know what
the
they
guy
were.
Could have walked away. You know what I'm saying?
What?
Nothing
what
kept them there.
You know what they?
They both no. They both could have walked away. That's a known fact. But I know where you're going with this. We don't know what
arguing.
We don't know what the story
was.
Right. We don't know what they were arguing about. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So. You know, of course, you know what I'm saying. So now, as to what you're saying about his mental trauma, the mental trauma is going to come from him having to trust another man, not because he took a life. It's because how am I going to be? That's fine, but how am I going to trust another man? You understand what I'm saying? Like, I'm supposed to be trained by a man, but unfortunately, he was raised by a woman who taught him to be a protector. I'm sure it's going to mess with his psyche because he never thought that he would have to face that. But however, I'm sure she groomed him because of the area they live in. Where they live out there is nothing but violence and killing and death.
Which is great, but that's the beauty of the palace. The beauty of the palace is everyone has an opinion, and your opinion is your opinion.
Right, absolutely.
There's no right or wrong or indifferent. You know, my opinion, like I said, is exactly what I said, you know, and it's how I feel and it's how I felt from watching the video. You know, I still remain the same, that I feel everyone is at fault. Everyone should have did something different. You know what I'm saying? It don't matter to me. And the reason I say that it's his mental is you guys raise men you raise men, you know what I'm saying? Yes, you raise your boys to be protectors and be able to protect his family, protect his loved ones. That's fine. But at the end of the day, you can train them and prepare them for one thing. But what's out there in real life is something different. And to me, I'd rather somebody be in a situation where they have to do something to defend themselves, and that's the last resort. To me, that was the last resort. She should have walked away. You know what I'm saying? Don't say, get the gun, come in here. You know what I'm saying? You walk away because you have a young son, and you do, and being a mother, both of you can look at that video, and y'all could both say he has some type of mental issues. He's not stable. He's not right. You could see that in him as
grandmother. The man that punched her? You talk about the man that punched the lady?
Right. I'm saying you guys could look at the video and you could see yourself that something was wrong with that situation. It's not like, this is the last resort. We got to take it to the street and my son got to kill you.
Agreed.
No. Think of it, to me, I like to say, think of it this way. He's yelling and screaming at a lady that he doesn't even know. We see that part, you know. And he's saying, I swear on my grandmother. If you say one more word, I'm going to knock you out. That's not a sane person.
I never in my life have seen anyone.
That ninja had straight issues. Like I said, I don't know what they were arguing about. I don't even know what the argument, but he did. He had straight issues. I don't know.
So what was
it started in the parking lot, so I don't know if he was in the store first. Like it could have went either way. You understand what I'm saying?
But
like,
what would you do?
They both
could have
walked away.
Right, but what would you do? If forget about the end result of what happened, what would you do? What would both of you do if you're put in that situation?
I get it.
What would you do?
my grandmother say, I'd rather stay there he go than there he lay. Believe me, I know how to remove myself from a situation. You understand what I'm saying?
I just wanted to know. She could have
removed herself and he could have followed her. That's why it's a lot to that video that we do not see. All we see is him punching her and her son shooting. Well, we didn't see that part, but that's all we really see. So what we're going on that situation is what we saw. And that's all we can do. We can only speculate the rest. You understand what I'm saying?
So Ray, like, what would you do?
But living in their area, like
the way I was raised,
it's sad, but you got to train your kids for combat. You're training your kids for combat because of your circumstances. You know what I'm saying? So
I'm glad they did drop the charges.
I find it adjustable shooting.
And I agree with that. What would you do?
In my experience, the way I was raised and in my experience, y'all might call me crazy, but when I, you know, something like that happens, and what, I'm going to fall on my knees and pray. I'm falling out to God, period. That's just me. I know I like to laugh a lot. I'm crazy. My mother calls me crazy and all, but when it comes to being serious,
Ray Queen is a prayer.
I would just...
Miss Mobetta, is she saying she's going to drop down in the middle of a situation and pray? That's what she's saying, right?
Let me tell you. I'm going to holler
out to Jesus. I want the listeners to understand what you're saying
I'm trying to understand you. Listen. Okay, listen. According to how it's raining, I would normally holler out to Jesus, fall on my knees and pray, but in that situation, woo! I'm backed in a corner. She was punched to the corner. Not only was she swung at, she was punched. It connected several times. I'm just going to
What would you do?
Jesus,
is the question.
Forgive me. And I'm going ham back like I'm a man. I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me.
Okay, so you're saying, I'm sorry, callers and listeners. So, Ray Queen, what are you saying you're going to do? You're saying she's back in the corner. So you're going to drop down to the floor and you're going to pray? Or you saying you're going to fight back like you're a man?
I'm fighting. I'm not only fighting like I'm a man. I'm going to fight like the tomboy that I was in elementary school, beating up every single boy that I did not like.
It's easy for us to say what we could and would do in that situation. You don't really know how you would react if you were put in that situation. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
You're going to go to what you know.
Absolutely.
I was taught I'm in a bond to protect myself by any means necessary. I know that's what I
fight
for.
I'm fighting like I'm a man. That I know myself that well. But in the same time, I'm hollering Jesus, and I'm going to look crazy. I'm going to scare you because I holler Jesus quick in any situation. But I'm going to fight like I'm a man.
I'm just laughing. And the reason, just so we clear real quick, the reason why I asked that question is, no, we haven't been in that situation, but no one says we'll never be in that situation. So that's why I wanted to ask that question, Christy. And I asked the question earlier to a couple other people
too.
Like, what would they do? You know, like, what would your just to get a census of what people are saying that they're gonna do? And I can be honest with you guys. Majority of the people, and I gave the example with having your children in the car. You know, like your children are in the car because in fact that's what happened. You know, her son was in the car. So I gave that scenario of if you're out someplace with your children and, you know, a verbal altercation takes place and you're arguing with someone and that person is threatening you and the person is already in your personal space, you know, because he was in your personal space, in your bubble, and you do feel threatened and you have your children, what would you do? And I'm going to be honest with you guys, most of the people said they're going to remove themselves from that situation because they're thinking about their children, you know. And if depending on the situation, if they were blocked into, like, if they were, certain people said, like, if they were blocked into an area, like, and they couldn't move around, they couldn't move out their way, that's different, then they would have to defend themselves. But majority of the people said that they would remove themselves from that situation, you know, because they're thinking of the family that they have in the car and the way society is nowadays, you know. That was offensive. So that's why I was asking ladies that question. We do have someone that's supposed to be coming on, AK. She did not press the one button yet, but you do have to press the one button to be able to go on the air. So you have to press that one button.
How do you pronounce her name?
Girl, listen, Miss Mobetta. It's A-K-A-Y.
We'll let her pronounce it. We'll let her give us the proper pronunciation. Right. When she comes on.
So I explained that earlier today in the introduction that we'll have her pronounce it. So then we will, you know, address her accordingly. But she has to press the one button to be able to go on. She is a spoken word poet. She is going to be at the AAECS event, the one that's July 15th in Riverhead. She will be there on July 15th.
Okay.
So for those of you who miss her tonight, she has other bookings, you know, but she also will be at that event on July 15th. So.
Cool. Okay.
All right, so without further ado, real quick, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to bring her on the air. It's about 8:31. We're going to bring her on the air. We'll open up, you know, we'll ask her some questions as usual. Towards the middle of the show, you know, we'll ask her about the topic of which we do have as well. But we'll open the floor for her. So, our special guest, are you in the building?
Yes. Hi. How are you?
Hey.
Hello.
How are you?
Welcome.
Yes, thank you.
So
thank
real
you.
Quick, we want to know how to pronounce your name so we can address you accordingly.
Akira,
welcome to the Diva Squad.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank
I like
you. Thank
name,
you for
though.
Your time.
Absolutely. Definitely. So we'll just start off by just you telling the callers and listeners a little bit about yourself.
Okay. Well, I am 33 years young. I am a mom of three beautiful girls. I'm currently on the mic. My stage name is AK. I've been performing poetry on Long Island and Queens. I'm just looking forward to continuing to bless the mic, letting people know that I'm here, sharing my experiences, and that's really it.
All right. Nice. See, we were right. We did say AK. So we did have that. We did have the pronunciation correct. So welcome, like I said, to Diva Squad. We're pretty much just, you know, we're here every Wednesday, 8 p.m. DC Palace will be in the building July 15th. The event that you'll be at as well will be there. So how long have you been doing poetry?
Well, I've been writing poetry since I've been about 14, 15 years old. I just recently started performing my poetry in front of like a live audience. I was really shy. My poetry is something that I really kept private. It was just my way of expressing myself. My main job is I work for Suffolk County, and I help put on tons of events for the youth and for the community. So they ended up putting on a Renaissance-themed Black History Month show, and they were looking for poets, and they really couldn't find anyone. And usually during the winter months, and it was like a poor day for the event. So I was under the impression it would be a low attendance. I would just go, do a few words, and that would be it. But, you know, by the grace of God, people came out more in the attendance than expected. A lot of people started sharing it. And almost literally since February, I've been booked and busy.
Yes. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. So since you've been writing since, let's just say, the age of 14, would you say that you're writing based on the experiences that you've had, Is that where it's come from?
Yeah. It started out, I was like facing a lot of depression and anxiety. I am a two-time suicide survivor. And when I was coping in the hospital, they tried to develop different coping mechanisms before they, you know, release you, you know, from treatment. And a lot of the coping techniques and the things that the therapists were recommending, I just really didn't connect with. So I started exploring journalism, and then it led me into, well, journaling, and then it led me into poetry. And it just opened up a different floodgate for me to be able to really open up and express myself in a judgment-free zone, especially when you're dealing with a lot of anxiety. You overthink and worry so much about other people's thoughts and ideas based on what you want to say. So this was just a way for me to be able to let out a lot of things that I was internalizing. And then, you know, as I just navigated, you know, through life, the experiences didn't get better. But that outlet for me, as I navigated through those hardships, was something that really helped me stay alive.
Wow. Bless you. And that's, and that's,
bless your heart.
For me, I know I worked at South Oaks for 10 years and with the teenage girls. And one of the things that we used to talk to them about is dealing, you know, coping with depression, anxiety, and being able to write down your thoughts and write down the feelings. And when you start to feel a certain way, being able to identify why you feel the way you do and just, you know, really becoming one with your thoughts, you know. So journaling is something that I even do, and it's an amazing tool. And I started doing it when I worked there, and I worked there for 10 years, and that's something that for anyone that can deal, that is dealing with depression, anxiety, journaling is a big tool. But it takes a strong person like yourself to be able to express and to write it down and talk about it and do your poetry to it. That takes a stronger person. You know, one thing is being strong to be able to write down those thoughts, but to be able to, you know, express, you know, the different thoughts and poets, you know, and writing to other people, that's a blessing. So definitely commending you and hats off to you for that.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. So a question, what are some of the highs and lows of doing spoken words? Especially now just getting out in front of the,
The audience. Right. So for me so far, I'll say a high for performing poetry is the audience's, when you're able to express yourself and the audience feels the words, you don't have to, when your pieces speak for yourself, I think that's the high for me. So far, you know, by the grace of God, every piece that I've shared has been, like I said, I don't really, some pieces are not really generic. They stem from a specific situation. So I'd say a low is still, you know, depression and anxiety is always long-term battle. So the anxiety and the overthinking of not knowing how they react is kind of a low getting inside your head, because these are personal experiences that I'm sharing in the form of poetry. But there's nothing better than fighting that fear head on. You know, every time I step to the stage, I'm like scared beyond belief. But to journaling and my poetry, it's the fight through the fear, and the acceptance after you do it is a great feeling.
Oh, that's awesome. And I commend you, because it's not easy getting up there and talking about your personal experiences, you know, without, you know, with having the fear of judgment, you know, because a lot of times we try We try not to think of what people, we try not to care about what people think of us. However, we live in a judgmental society, especially now with social media and, you know, different things, people changing your narrative when they go on there and edit some stuff, you know. And all you want is respect. Like, I just want it to be respected. But this is my story. This is my story I'm here to tell. And hopefully it helps somebody else in turn, you know. So, but it, it's tough. And especially here in New York. Especially in New York. We have, a tough, tough audience.
Yes. And what's crazy, as you mentioned that, I recently performed for Juneteenth in Queens. And when I was, and this was my largest performance to date, it was an audience of about 200 people. And usually I pick a piece and I do it based on, I don't even, the moment, whatever I feel. Whatever God speaks through me, whatever piece to do, I'll just say.
Mm-hmm.
So I shared that on stage. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I shared that I feel like I should do this particular piece. And I said in the audience, you know, I don't know who needs to hear this, but, you know, basically, here you go. And when I was done, the show was over, a mom and her son came over to me, and her son is a high-functioning autistic. And she said that, you know, when you said you don't know who needs to hear this, she said you made my son cry. He related so much to your piece. She was like, can we follow you? We want to know where you're going to be. She was like, you spoke directly to my son. And she was like, I just want to thank you for that.
I have a question.
And that was like my first experience with something like that.
That's amazing. Comment. This is Ray Queen speaking. And exactly what you just said. Oh, my gosh. I have so much to say, but I'm going to keep it short. Wow. You mentioned depression, anxiety, overthinking, people being judgmental, and Storm and yourself, you know, y'all mentioned working, you know, being around people and, you know, with certain issues, a certain, oh, my gosh. It's just so much. Anyway, my question is, I need to know how to follow you. I need to, this is Ray Queen, like I said, I need to know how to follow you. What is your social media information? Because there's so much that, and so much came out of this. I feel like the hairs on the back of my neck, even those that, you know, my receding hairline and all that stuff, because I'm 50 plus now, but I need your information. I need to follow you.
Go, Ray.
Yes. Yes. Well, you can follow me on Facebook. My name is Akira Jackson, spelled A-H-K-Y-R-A, last name Jackson, spelled generically. And then I can also be found on Instagram. And you're going to have to slow this down. On Instagram, at A-K-A. And then 8 Y's, okay? So it's A-K-A-Y-Y-Y-Y-Y, 8 Y's.
Wait, no, hold on. Instagram at
A-K-A-Y.
You start typing it, it should come up.
Right, right.
A-K-A-Y.
And then
Lord Jesus. Okay, I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it when you... Yeah,
yes,
okay.
But it'll pop right up.
Sometimes Ray Queen has senior moments at a young age.
Sometimes Ray Queen has been having senior moments since she was an infant, but we're not going to talk about that. Anyway,
Lord help us.
Well, my heart, my mind, my spirit. You know, I mean, well, God is good, and I'm so grateful.
So bring it back to you, Akira. So, what would you want people to know about you that would help them cope with their depression, anxiety? What other methods would you give someone with identifying that this is what they're going through, and they're thinking of, you know, suicide. And with you being a two-time suicide survivor, what would you tell them? What would you tell someone that said, you know what, I just tried to commit suicide myself, but I'm here. What do I do now? What would you do?
Heavy loaded question.
I'm sorry.
I think that the best advice that I would be able to give the person would tell them that first, I've been exactly where they are. So don't feel ashamed of feeling what you're feeling or what you just attempted to go through, you know, and to be grateful that you're here to express yourself. The biggest coping thing I would tell someone is to journal and write down their thoughts and feelings, let it out, whether it's a good feeling or a bad feeling, they need to release. I can speak that internalizing it and not telling anyone is further destroying yourself. So if you can put it to paper as a first step, I would do that. And then I would say a lot of people rush people. I mean, it's, you know, everyone's advice is different, you know, but I think a lot of people rush people to go and speak to someone, talk to someone and things like that. I would tell someone to start with themselves. Start speak to yourself. What are you feeling? You know, identify that before you go and, you know, try to speak to anyone. You know, speak to yourself, whether it's in the mirror, whether it's by yourself. And then also remember, when you're even speaking to yourself, you're not by yourself. God is right there. So if you let it out, you know, he's hearing you.
You
know,
I'm just saying,
maybe that might be the only person that needs to hear your cry, because, you know, he's the only one that could heal your pain. And then also affirmations. For me, sometimes people who are severely depressed is unknowing their worthiness. So, you know, picking out some good affirmations, some good self-love, you know, it starts with you. And for me, when I got that depressed, is because I self-loathed, you know, I felt no value in me. So the root to my healing started, it's always going to start with yourself.
Right.
You said a whole mouthful, honey.
But, and the reason I asked that question, just, you know, so everyone's on the same page, is we do have different listeners that listen to the show, and sometimes people send in questions, and, you know, what we're speaking about tonight is so relatable to so many people, you know, where they've been there. They understand.
Right.
They can relate. They've overcome, but they're not able to express the different things out to people of what they're doing. So if someone is going through something and they ask you a question, it's like, wow, okay, well, tell me how you did it so I can take some of the tools that you use and use to save someone else. Part of your testimony, you know?
Right.
You know, it's, the story is, you know, go ahead, Miss Mabetta, sorry.
Were you saying something?
No, I was just agreeing because, you know, again, Akila, that's your name?
Yes.
Akira.
Okay, yeah, no, yeah, but you said a mouthful, and a lot of people, again, fear keeps a lot of people from admitting or identifying the issues that they have with themselves because they are afraid of the judgment. You know,
right.
What I'd like to tell people all the time, at the end of the day, everybody has a story to tell. My story might not be the same as yours. We might have similar stories. However, we all have a story to tell. You understand what I'm saying? And for the people that are suffering in silence, all that does is eat you up. It eats you up. And when you talk about journaling, I do journaling all the time. I write all the time because what it does, it gets it out of your head. So now I'm going to dump it on this paper so I'm not walking around just pondering and thinking, and then it starts eating you up, then it works you into bad health, and then, you know, then your mental is totally wrong. So all of that stuff is really major when it comes to going through depression, you know. Speak to a stranger sometimes if you need to. Like I need to talk to somebody. But when you said, when you were talking about the tools, those tools are major. And that's what talking to like licensed people do. They give you tools to wear and help you cope. You know what I'm saying? Help you develop yourself.
Right.
Tap into what's really bothering you. Because sometimes we go around thinking one thing is bothering us and it don't be that at all. It's something totally
right.
The
devil is a lie. I'm here.
No,
I'm listening.
Wow. I didn't know that was affecting me, but it was, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So don't be afraid to get the help
Akira.
If you need help.
So real
I appreciate
Akira.
This call, man.
Let's get into the different things that you've done with the community. Of course, we have your bio, and, we're going through it. And you've done, with mentoring and stuff. Let's talk about that. How did you start off by mentoring? Where did it come from? What motivated you to do it?
Yes. Well, I've touched upon not the greatest upbringing, being hospitalized.
Mm-hmm.
And then shortly after, I was in, group homes. And then I was working and on my own. So I was always into doing things in the community. So I landed a job working, having a civil service position and then having the job in the county executive's office. And that put me directly in the Department of Human Services. So that is essentially the Youth Bureau, the Office of Minority Affairs and Women's Services. So that literally tapped into everything that was important to me. Because at that time I was a young mom, so navigating and helping other women tap into those resources. Women's services is every services, related to women. And then youth. A lot of terrible things happened to me as a child and in my young adult years. So I was always a youth advocate, children and mental health and what happened to me. There were adults in place that whether it was the lack of training, whether it was turning the other way, but there were certain individuals that I feel had the responsibility to help or guide or protect me that didn't. So I've always been on a mission to be the voice for the voiceless, to be the advocate for children who no one's paying attention to advocate for the children who people think are troubled teens, but you don't know don't understand the dynamic of their household that you're labeling them this, that, and the third. So when I land in this position, it really tapped into what I'm passionate about. So Faces of New York Faces of Long Island ended up doing a write-up on me just of people who had hardship upbringing and have, their life turned out good. And once they did that and shared it, I was reached out by Moxie Mentorship, which is a woman-led organization that helps mentor young women who are navigating their way through college and want to land a professional role. They don't know what they're doing, and not necessarily know what they're doing, but they want to they need guidance or want guidance on how to, handle the pressures of being in college and everything like that. So I helped them do that, just be, a mentor with them. And then also Suffolk County had no youth bureau. We have had no youth council. There was a whole youth bureau where we discussed matters on youth without the youth. Facilitated and put together the first Suffolk County Youth Council. We've been in formation for 3 years now. And what I do is a completely youth-ran council. My job on a county level is to help put together any thoughts, ideas, workshops that they have and bring them the resources to execute them. Show them how to navigate through government, turn your ideas into legislation, into policy, and things like that. So that's just a little bit of the work that I've been doing.
Nice.
Mm. And at 33, ladies and gentlemen, at 33 years of age,
that's
33.
Awesome. And you know what?
That's a blessing.
To hear that happening again, because my mom used to actually run the youth council also many years ago out in the east end of Long Island area. My mom and, you know, so many people, she was very well respected by, you know, all the youth and stuff. And and then after a while, then it started becoming a budget issue and, oh, there's no funding, there's no this, no that. And then soon it died out. And so when I was out there, just today, I was out there and to look around, it was like, oh, my God, it's the summertime. It used to be so much going on. To where it always has something to do. Now that it's like non-existent,
right?
And it's just it's sad, you know, because it's it used to be booming where they made sure that, you know, everybody has something to do, whether it's a summer job or just a summer program that didn't cost the arm and a leg. You know, everything became about money. So, but I totally commend you. I tip my hat to you. You know,
absolutely. Now, would you say that during the pandemic, did that affect the work of which that you were doing? Or do you think that during that time, it was just more heightened for you? How were you affected?
I think COVID definitely challenged the work that I was doing. And not only that, it had a detrimental effect on the youth, on our children, you know.
Right.
It presented challenges as in trying to get the kids, not necessarily my group of kids, because the kids that we outreach to are kids that want to get involved, that are noticing the difference, but the general population of youth kind of, you know, for 2.5 years were isolated and put themselves in shells. So it's been challenging to kind of break them out and get them comfortable to come out. But then besides the pandemic, the biggest challenge is getting the youth to understand that I'm not someone who's just going to listen to their ideas and walk away, that I am someone who's invested in turning their ideas into change. Because me, I'm a millennial, but I was raised by my grandparents. So I have a lot of old school understanding of the old school methodologies and way of thinking. And there is a huge distrust within the youth, and but both ways, between the elders and how they perceive how the younger generation is, because they have the wisdom, right? And then the youth, we have the answers, right? But there's a distrust back and forth. So, you know, it's getting them to understand that we are noticing there are some errors in the things that we have done. There's been some generational curses that we are ready to listen and take action and include them in our conversation. So that's been the only challenges that I've been facing.
Wow. That's amazing. So,
yeah, like you said, getting everybody anything to do this thing collectively, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Now, is there anything that we did not ask you that you do want the callers and listeners to know about you that we have not covered?
I think the only thing that's missing is to tell the callers where they can catch my next performance. And and actually, my next few performances, I have a performance in Queens. It's for the network. I have a poetry show that's Friday, July 14th in Queens. I also have a poetry show that you guys have been promoting in Riverhead, and that's Saturday, July 15th. And then I also am performing Sunday, July 16th for the Mothers Club. They're having a jazz of jazz brunch event at Bijou. So I will be performing there
Wow. Yes. That's, you have a very busy weekend that weekend.
Yes, ma'am.
Very busy weekend. Been busy.
Well, good. That's
so
all
before,
right.
Before we do go, just want you to give all of your social media again to everyone who, you know, who's listening. The show is live, so anyone can always go back and check the archives for any additional information. But we're going to, you know, allow you just to open up the floor and give all your information to them. And then once you're finished with that, we have a topic that we do each show. And the topic that we did tonight was the shooting that took place in Chicago. It was, I don't know if you've seen it,
the
mother got into an argument with the gentleman. Yes. So after you give all your information, we just want to know what's your feedback on that. How did you feel? What's your take?
Okay. So you guys can reach me and follow me on Facebook. It's at my first and last name. That's Akira Jackson. Akira is spelled A-H-K-Y-R-A. And Jackson like Michael Jackson. And then on Instagram, I can be found at A-K-A. And a bunch of Y's. If you put a bunch of Y's, I'll pop up. It'll say AK. And again, that's AKAY with a bunch of Y's at the end. And just to close out, my opinion on the whole situation is only one thing I could come to mind is absolutely, they better have dropped those charges against that boy defending his mother.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. That's right.
And
absolutely.
I also feel that shame on every adult that stood place and watched him yell in her face before her son, before her 14-year-old son came out and defended her. There was too much adult standing there watching that happen.
That's right. Who ran, mind you. Ran quickly.
Yeah,
okay.
No, they took off running.
Ran quickly.
Sure did.
You know, ran quickly. That's crazy.
But like I said, now, again, we have to look at the area because, again, over in Chicago, you know, they always say they have a bad rap over in Chicago that it's nothing but a lot of gang activity and different things like that. Now, in that instance, you know, if it's that bad, then if you're raising children, you have to kind of look to get away from the area. But if you forced to stay there under circumstances, then you have to teach your children to be to be defensive, defend yourself by any means necessary, and your mother too.
Thank you so much, Akira.
Yep, thank you. No problem.
No, go ahead.
No, I just one last thing. I think this situation also highlights the gap between the community and the police. Like, not every situation do you have to get in, but we're supposed to feel safe to call 911. Like, people
are either
afraid and leaving, or they feel like they have to do it themselves, and we are paying people money whose job is it to do these things. And it just highlights the gap in distrust, you know, and that is a more overlapping, you know, issue. Like, it we don't need to be the saviors. We paying somebody to do
exactly.
Right.
To protect
right.
and serve. To protect and serve, but you know what? Not for nothing. Even with everything being, with everything said and done, hopefully, I pray that the mom, you know, she has her lawsuit, and I pray that she will, once she's blessed with that money, I pray that she'll remove her children from that unsafe environment. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I pray that that's the tools that she needs to uplift and to remove them, you know, remove them from that environment and bring them someplace else. Not every place is safe, but, you know, everyone knows about Chicago and the areas and stuff like that. And, you know, he's definitely going to need some serious therapy, and he's definitely going to need to be removed from the situation. And
right.
for us, for our children, they should be our number one priority. You know, that's their number one priority. I'm sorry. You know, I love my children, you know, and I'll do anything for my kids. But I'm telling you, I will never put my kids in harm's way. I'm sorry. I'm not doing it. I never put them in harm's way on purpose. You know what I'm saying? I'll remove myself
right.
from any situation before I cause harm to my kids. That's just how I feel. It's your girl Storm. My opinion only. You know, it is what it is. But that's,
right.
you know, that's how I feel. Yeah. You know. But with that being said, we're going to go ahead and we'll go with our show on Wednesday night. We go around the round table. Everyone gives their final thought on the topics that we have this evening. But Akira, we want to thank you, you know, from the bottom of our hearts. It was an honor to have you come on and share your story. And we look forward to following you and hearing you speak. We'll be at that event. So I'm looking forward to hearing you speak on the stage July 15th. I'll definitely be there. GC Palace
yes.
will be in the building. And it was an honor,
yes.
you know. It was an
thank
honor.
You so
thank
much.
You very much.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, ladies, it's your Jackson. All right, so Diva Squad, Diva Squad, Diva Squad. So that does end our show. We'll go around the table real quick for you ladies to give your final thoughts on tonight's show. And our guest is definitely relatable, you know. Her testimony is a strong testimony. And I just look forward to, you know, watching her be successful in what she's doing and how she's speaking out and giving back. And I commend her at 33, hands down. That's definitely a round of applause by itself. So go ahead, ladies.
Absolutely.
Passing the mic. Passing the mic.
Okay. I'll go. It's Miss Mo Better in the building. I'll go. Again,
right,
we'd like
ahead.
To thank our guest.
Go ahead, birthday girl.
I'd like to thank our guest on this evening. She's saying a lot of things that were very profound. If anyone that is, you know, suffering, you feel like you're suffering in silence, you're not alone. There are different avenues, channels out that you can take to, you know, help get you over that hump. And love yourself. It's love yourself. Love on yourself. Do what you feel you have to do to, you know, get you over that hump, you know. And try not to worry about what anybody says. Number two, stay off the internet. I promise you. Unless you're doing some research, stay off social media. Stay off those things if you can help it. You know, to help you get through. Go write it down. Write it down, rip it up and burn it if you need to. Help get it out your head. You're not alone. And I pray for everybody mental stability, because we need that. You have to be mentally stable. So, and as far as the young man and his mom in Chicago, I'm so glad that those charges were dropped. Everybody pretty much was on the same page that it was justifiable. Could they have avoided it?
Mm-hmm.
Probably so. But unfortunately, it didn't end that way. But I'm glad that, and I hope if whatever help he does need, if he does need any help, that he gets it. And the mom also. They can both do some counseling, because that was a traumatic ordeal. You know, and you wouldn't want to go through that. I know I would. So, but thank all y'all for calling. Thanks for all the birthday shout outs. I'm still celebrating till the end of the month. And I'm chucking up the juice.
All right. So, looks like Ray Queen's call drop. And then archive if you missed it. hanging out with you guys next week, Wednesday, same time, same place. Friday, which one of you guys have a 10? So congratulations to everyone that's graduating. College, high school, ceremony, first grade, second grade, you need it. Congratulations to everyone. Sky's the limit. And remember that you are loved, you are someone. And just continue to, as Ms. Humbetta said, work on yourself. Self-care. You know, you are someone. If no one tells you, we'll tell you we love you and sky's the limit. And you can be anybody that you want to be in this thing called life that we're living. God bless you all. Have a blessed and safe week.
Ladies and gentlemen. I got a different girl every day of the week. You're too smart, you be a dummy to believe that stuff that you heard that they say about me. They say that I'm this, they say that I'm that, but all of it's fiction, none of it's fact. But you don't be hearing it about your love, you let it go in one ear and out the other. Now he say, she say, they say I heard it. Be fake, we can't let it get on our nerves. She's miserable, she just wants it to be like her. Misery needs company, so don't listen to that vine of grapes there. Nothing but liars hating, I bet it wouldn't mind trading places with you by my side and my Mercedes. Of a legend, haters so salt like rice in a wedge. So what? That's your cousin. They don't mean nothing. Her life missing the tight of affection. You get used to blind to the fact. See the lies that you saw. Your cries for attention. New to the body, supply your suspicion. But listen, say you love me, gotta trust me. Why you stress this high school mess? Break up never. They just tell us. Coming from your mama, mean move from your brother. I'm the author of the book, nigga, judged by the cover. Yeah, I've been to jail. Yeah, I grinding for real. I'm positive they're talking negative pimp. They hate to see you doing better than them, so.